Birmingham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And always, regular viewers, listeners will know that we are massive supporters of all the tremendous work that the Hertfordshire Sports Partnership do, the HSP. Truly, they are committed to engaging with vulnerable people, youngsters, people across all walks of life, fusing the power of sport to improve oneself and one's circumstances. And to explain a little bit more about two rather exciting projects at this time, we are delighted to welcome from the HSP, Charlie Mann. Charlie, how are you?
Morning, Tony. Yeah, very well, thank you.
Perfect. Good stuff. Well, it is challenging times. I know we're actually, I think, sometimes guilty of forgetting how lucky we are. But across Hertfordshire, there's an awful lot of people that bubble under the surface, oftentimes forgotten. But you at HSP don't forget the vulnerable people. Tell us a little bit about the Sporting Chance project and how you're engaging with those vulnerable people at this incredibly challenging time.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Danny. Just to pick up on that point, I think you're right. I think, you know, Hertfordshire is generally perceived as quite an affluent county, but I think that can mask some of the deeper social issues that there are very prevalent within Hertfordshire, certainly across certain boroughs. So I think sometimes we do get a bit blasé around Hertfordshire, and actually there are some people leading very, very difficult lives. So it's important to ensure that that remains at the forefront of your thought process. In terms of the Sporting Chance programme, it was a programme that we kicked off back in sort of September 2019 now. And it was aimed at young people, sort of 14, 15, 16-year-olds, who were on the cusp of the youth justice system. So were known to police, started to get in trouble, and starting to display some warning indicators in their behaviour, that essentially they were heading down the wrong path.
But I guess an opportunity, therefore, to more positively push in a more positive direction at that kind of critical age, that 14 to 16 age, isn't it, where you are becoming an adult, but still capable of being influenced both positively and negatively.
Sure, that was the idea, and the idea is that we felt with us and other partners as well, you know, it wasn't just our program, but it was a multi-agency approach to this work. It was felt that if we can have a robust sporting offer or physical activity offer, that would give these young people sort of a different way to stay physically active, but also to engage in a different way with some of the agencies and some of the youth workers, some of the sport workers. If they had a sporting offer they could signpost to, that would enhance their offer of support with that young person and give them another string to their bow. So there was quite a lot to it. So you're going back to where we started. So we kicked off in September, and it was all around trying to take young people, make them more physically active. So we used football and boxing were the two sports we used, predominantly because those were the sports that when we spoke to young people, those were the two sports they wanted to see more of and do more of. And that was certainly been borne out in the numbers of sessions that we've seen. Anyway, cut a long story short, here we are sort of fast forward to March, and obviously lockdown measures getting put in place. And we were very conscious that we still had very vulnerable and at-risk young people in the county who are now getting absolutely no support whatsoever and being very at risk of being cut off and exploited further.
Just to cut you short there, I really, really value the ethos of this massively important project here. I guess what was really critical, both for yourself and the wider team that are influential in this beautiful project, is the danger of losing momentum that you built up in that time, building up these positive options and choices, this connection of community and this lifestyle positive reinforcement that's all about sporting chance. And I guess, again, there would have been a danger in March to sort of say, well, the world's beaten us, but not a bit of it. You pivoted very quickly, didn't you?
Definitely. I think that's definitely a point worth raising, and that some of these people are very, very vulnerable, very, very at risk. And we knew we'd have to think differently about the program. How are we going to engage and overcome some of the technological difficulties? Because obviously, again, we get a bit blasé around moving everything online, but that isn't always an option for some of these young people. So we had to think different about how we did it. And again, telling everyone to do Joe Wicks at 9 in the morning is fantastic for some people, but for some of the young people, that just doesn't cut any ice whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It has to be a much more tailored, much more specific offer to really engage with these young people. So what we did, we looked at how we could sort of incorporate an online virtual offer, but also with a physical, tangible pack we could give to young people as well. So we worked with the police, we worked with Families First, we worked with a couple of schools, and we worked with some an education support centre to really identify 200 of the most vulnerable, most at-risk young people in Hertfordshire from all across the county. And what we did, we used some of the sporting investment to purchase either a pair of boxing gloves, a football, a rugby ball, or a basketball, coupled with some key literature. So the police put some messages in, Families First, County Council, anything really key targeted messages we wanted to get into these young people. And we pulled them together in a pack, and we sent those out to these vulnerable young people around the county so they could physically stay active in their own homes, whether it's in their gardens, in their flats, in their houses, wherever it was. So they physically had something that we could offer them to keep them active. Coupled with that, we also created a new YouTube channel. So YouTube is obviously massive for some of the young people that we engage with. And rather than, as I touched on earlier, having a generic workout, which definitely has its place, and I'm not knocking it whatsoever, but it definitely has a place. But we wanted deliverers to post that our young people were familiar with and comfortable with, and they knew, and they would have no problem following online. So we reached out to the deliverers on the program who were running sessions during what you'd call normal times. And we asked them to record sort of 3 or 4 different workouts, and we posted them all on YouTube so young people could have their boxing gloves, have their football, have their basketball, and follow the coaches from their own homes. And that seems to have gone down really well. In fact, we've had some really, really good feedback from police and other partners around how young people have really taken it upon themselves to get on the YouTube, use the gloves, use the ball to try and stay engaged.
But what's awesome, again, is that it is that physical aspect, the pack itself, meaning that there are areas, like you say, I think this YouTube element's so wonderful. And I can imagine as you've received such wonderful feedback, but as you rightly identify, some of these people won't have strong broadband access, et cetera, et cetera. So the mere fact that you've given them that engagement, reminded, of course, that you are fully committed to their sense of self and who they are. You haven't forgotten about them. For me, that is the absolute key in this. And 200 people is such an astonishing amount in a relative short space of time. Again, that pack includes a choice of boxing gloves, skipping ropes, basketball, football, a whole heap of things. But I also love the fact that these big projects, they don't happen in isolation. You're working in such close conjunction with the police, with various schools, Family First, a whole heap of others, the links, etc. And some of the key literature you've referenced there, can you just build into it a little bit more? I think certain things to do with lives, not knives, and that kind anti-gang culture aspect is going to be so critical. Just to explain a little bit more about the literature side of things.
Sure. So we do a lot of work with the Hertfordshire Schools and Gangs team, Helen Crowson and her team. And they run the Lives Not Knives campaign for Hertfordshire. And essentially it's a raising awareness campaign to really hammer home the the truth about knife crime. Mm-hmm. I think it's glorified, not just Hertfordshire, but nationally. And mm-hmm. and I think more young people than we realise are carrying knives. It's mm-hmm. becoming an ever prevalent issue. So what we did, we went with the police and they provided Lives Not Knives wristbands and a Lives Not Knives flyer that had sort of key facts about knife mm-hmm. crime, where to go for support, sort of some of the more alarming stats around mm. people that carry knives are more likely to be attacked rather than people that don't carry knives, and other sort of key, not overkill, but mm. just three or four key bullet points that we really wanted to hammer home, and all the literature was geared around that knife crime focus.
Absolutely fantastic. And I just really have such admiration for everything that you guys at HSP stand for, continue to implement. And again, credit to you and everybody there for finding a way to adapt, evolve, and continue that crucial momentum in what has been for us all a terribly challenging period. But thankfully, we're not in the norm yet, but we are easing up a touch. And Charlie, I'd be delighted to learn a little bit more about how Sporting Chance is embracing, so to speak, the great outdoors throughout August. And I think 7 Hertfordshire parks across the county, opening up, young people aged 11 to 14, again, that critical age span, being encouraged and, just get involved there in these 7 green spaces, parks. Just tell us a little bit more about the boot camp sessions that are being run already and continue to run throughout August, utterly free.
Well, thanks, Tony. Yeah, sure. So what we did, we sort of as an extension from the packs, wanted to have a bit of a summer offer in place mm. to again offer some physical opportunity for these people to become physically active. We didn't want to risk losing engagement from potentially March right through to September, October. Yeah. We thought that would be too long a break. So we put in some summer provision. We toyed with a few different sports and we looked at what would appeal and what wouldn't appeal, and what would be easy to follow in line with guidance. And what we came up with is a boot camp fitness type model mm-hmm. That we felt was easy enough to do adhering to social distancing guidelines. So working with police, with Families First again, and local authority colleagues, we targeted sort of hotspot areas throughout the county, and we've sourced deliverers that are happy to deliver to a potentially troubled cohort, you know, have been sort of locked away for 3, 4, 5 months without anything. So there could be some potential difficulties there and some problematic scenarios. And we've created 7 boot camp sessions across Hertfordshire. And we ask police and Families First and various schools to signpost young people to us. They're 90-minute sessions, happen weekly. And it's all around that boot camp sort of boxing fitness type model. Just a quick 90-minute blast to get people physically active. 5 to 6:30 most of the month. It's one that's 4:30, 4:30 till 6. But that sort of early evening time mm-hmm. slot. Again, in line with where we see spikes in antisocial behaviour and youth crime, and just to make better use of public open space, really. And it's so far, I think we're 3 weeks in, we've got 3 weeks to go. There are space on most of the programmes, but so far we've seen some really, really good results. And we seem to be, again, we lowered the age group to that 11 to 14 to offer the programme to as many young people as we could try and capture. And it seems to be going really well. We've had some really, really good feedback. And young people seem to be buying into it. So, yeah, we're off to a good start.
Perfect. And, I totally buy into and really appreciate the importance of sport for not just the physical side of things, which goes almost without saying, but the mental side of things, the sense of community, the discipline. You know, I know boxing is a key element of what you guys have been encouraging people to. And you just have to think about the world champion that we possess, Watford's own, AJ Joshua. He's very, very open about the path, the trajectory his life was on before he got into boxing quite late, into his late teens. And I'm not saying that everybody who takes part in what you guys provide is going to be the next world champion. That's not realistic. But the point is, isn't it? It's the discipline. It's the responsibility. It's the sense of controlled energy that it provides. It does offer a totally different path in life. And I guess that's all we can hope for. And I guess that's what you guys are in business to provide.
Definitely. I think you touched on the mental aspect there. And I would say that is now more important than it ever has been before. I think obviously we're in the new times, strange times, unprecedented times. And I think we've really seen some young people have had some significant mental health troubles adapting to the lockdown measures, adapting to, you know, not being at school and having that stability and that regular routine. So I think to touch on that point, I think that you can't stress that too highly, is that, you know, the mental aspect that sport can help to try and negate, I think is massive. And I think that's certainly going to take center stage over the next year, 18 months or so.
And again, this critical age, this very time where you can be influenced, again, positively and negatively, in this boot camp context, 11 to 14. Another thing that I truly appreciate about this, because as you've used the word blasé a few times, we are sometimes so guilty, frankly, of just living in our own little bubbles and either moaning about things or kind of just forgetting the rest of the world. And, you know, we're very lucky. And I think when you are very lucky, you have a mini responsibility to give back. But one of the key aspects there of this boot camp, which I think is so crucial, is that it is utterly free. Because, you know, sports can sometimes be prohibitive for no other reason than financial. You know, you want to go to a gym, you've got to pay the cost. You want to go for a swim, you've got to pay the cost, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that this is, again, aiming at vulnerable people and is utterly free is such a credit to the team and the foresight that's gone into that. Just talk to us again, I guess, about some of the barriers that naturally present themselves to sport and physical engagement, particularly amongst these vulnerable people that you are opening doors for.
Yeah, I think you've touched on a big one there, cost. I think, you know, that is a huge barrier for the young people. I think in this day and age as well, it's other pressures on leisure time. You know, I think, you know, we're competing with Netflix and Facebook and social media for people's leisure time. That's the market we're in. You know, people have only got limited spare time, and they could be doing umpteen other things. They could be beaming Netflix into their front room, or they could be coming to our session in the park. So, you know, that's what we're up against, and we have to make sure our offer is as good and as robust and as engaged as it possibly can be. Otherwise, you're never going to get anywhere, and you're never going to cut any ice. And I think, as well, people with short attention spans, you get one crack at it. They come to the first session, you've got to engage them from that first session, otherwise you've lost them forever. It's very hard to get them back, and I think that's another huge barrier. And I guess as well, just to touch on the final barrier, you've got young people that inherit parental bias, parents that had a tough time at school, parents that didn't value PE, parents that don't particularly aren't active or value sport themselves. That is passed on, and I think that's something we have to overcome as well. And again, that's not easy to do, and that is another huge barrier.
Brilliantly explained. But again, obviously, it is thankfully that there are people like you, the HSP, and all the other wonderful partners that you work in conjunction for and with, that provide these role models and, quite frankly, these opportunities for people to get on that positive path, to experience the power that sport can provide. Because you're right, we are competing against so many other things that maybe it is the case that our own attention spans are becoming more limited and more limited. But it still remains the case, doesn't it, Charlie? You mentioned you've received wonderfully good feedback, which is awesome. But that's all it takes, is one person to tell their friend how wonderful this is. And then all of a sudden, I'm not saying we're going to change the world here, but habits are so important, aren't they? And habits can become negative, and that leads to, you know, kind of a negative span of momentum. But when they become positive, that's a really powerful thing, isn't it? And again, that word of mouth, that positive engagement is so, so critical. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think to touch on your point, I think you look at that wider issue of behaviour change. It is doable. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is doable. If you can lock in and you can engage with someone, and you can start to unpick behaviours and start to challenge some of their more negative behaviours, start to slowly turn the ship, it is really, really powerful. And when young people start to take ownership of their own behaviour, to take ownership of their own learning, that's when you really start to strike gold. And it's not easy. I would never say it, but it is doable.
And do you know one thing I've noticed as I bumble through planet Earth for over 30 years is that nothing good is easy. Anything good has a challenge. Comes through times where you kind of think, oh, it's impossible, but then you realize or remind yourself afresh of why you were doing that. So I think you're really right, very astute to observe, but it isn't easy. And we're not going to paint this as a magic wand that's going to save planet Earth. But that path of positivity, that path of goodness, it's paved with challenges. But in the long run, when you get people to commit to that and buy into that, the overall arc is nothing but positive, from my own observations.
100%. I think as well, it's important that we remember our role, and that sport can't change everything. Sport isn't the answer to everything. It's a big jigsaw, and sport has a big role in that, but it's not the only answer. It's not the only way to do it. But if we get it right, it can be a fundamental way of changing young people's behavior and changing some of the societal issues that we see. But it has to work in conjunction with other elements, music and arts and a whole range of other social activities, to really try and change what we see. But sport, make no mistake, is supremely powerful.
I totally agree. And I think you're right to recognize its kind of place in the bigger puzzle. And, you know, there are no magic wands. There's no way that we can make this easy. But I just appreciate the role, the crucial role that HSP is playing in at least providing opportunities to engage with the important, fundamentally good factors that sport can play in our lives. And again, particularly at this young, very influential age, that sort of 11 to 14, that early teenage adolescent period. Charlie, there's so many amazing things going on here. I'd absolutely love it all. Can you tell us, most critically, where we can now go to learn more information, not just about HSP generally, but about the Sporting Chance projects we've discussed today?
Sure. So the Sporting Chance has its own page on the HSP website, which is sportinghearts.org. And then we've obviously got the new YouTube channel as well, which I would signpost everyone towards. And if you go to YouTube and you type in Hertfordshire Sporting Chance, that will take you straight to the YouTube channel.
Perfect. Run those past us just one more time.
Yep. So the YouTube channel, YouTube is Hertfordshire Sporting Chance. If you search that, that will take you straight there. And the website is www.sportinhearts.org. And there's a Sporting Chance website page within that.
Perfect. So many great things being done. So many projects entirely for free. There's really no excuses. If you're listening to this, if you fall into that age group, or if you know somebody who is in that age group, I would utterly encourage you to check out the HSP website, to engage with the YouTube channel, to get involved, because there's a good chance it could well massively, importantly influence your life. Charlie, thank you ever so much for your time just now. I know you will. I know everybody does there at HSP, but I'm just going to say, keep up the amazing work that you guys do. It's really awesome to engage with you. And I just want to thank you again in closing. Much obliged for your time.